Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Looks like you are not as strong as I am. I said, praise the Lord. Recharged to excel. Recharged to excel. We're taking that understanding from technology. You know, the phone you have in your hand, good. Having everything it ought to have, all the programs in there, all the plans in there, all the possibilities in there, you charge it. And then the power is there. And you even watch it. You see the level of the battery. And then you're able to use it. And you keep on using it and using it. And the battery is running. It will run down. And then, if you still want to continue using that telephone, that tablet, or that cell phone, you have to recharge it again. Recharge to excel. And so you have to make the effort. And you have to go to the source of power and plug it in there and recharge. Not only that, I'm talking to you today. I've not started. I'm just, you know, warming up and trying to make you understand. Now you understand today. We have teenagers. We have college, university students. We have those who have graduated. We have those who have gone through youth service, youth corpus. They are. And we have those who are young professionals. And you are there in your profession. And we have the young adults who are here. We're actually ranging from about 12 years of age to 40 years of age. And so you don't expect, I'm only going to be talking to the teenagers. I'm talking to everyone. And everyone that uses any cell phone, he has to recharge so that that phone can give you the excellent service is supposed to give you. Not only that, look at the profession all in life. I'm going to be reading a verse of scripture to you that says Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego was 10 times better than all the rest of the people in Babylon. Now, I started talking about the telephone. If you look at the first cell phone, before all these new phones came out, they had limited service. But the people that got that phone up, either it's Apple or Android or any other, those people, they kept on working, they kept on thinking, until what you have today in that little cell phone you have in your hand, it took a big, a large computers to store those things in. They kept on improving until they became 10 times better. Look at aviation and look at aeroplane. The first kind of aeroplane that came out at the beginning by those bright brothers, it had limited function, but then they keep on improving and now 10 times better. Look at the bridges that we have. We used to have the bridges all over the world that will get over any ocean or any sea, and now were developed to the point that tunnels inside the sea can go like that. And because the people in every profession, they're 10 times better, even more than 10 times better. And they look at the cars we have. If you saw the cars, 1900, the cars they had at that time, the speed and the make and everything. But now the world is going up 10 times better. anything where, even in education now, you know, when I was a teacher, we were using the chalkboard, and if you wanted to get any result, you paste the result there on the board, maybe at university. But now, everything, we've gone 10 times better. When you are going to fill a form, you don't have a hard copy now. The thing is there, you fill it online, and then you get the result online. You can even do online studies now, which we couldn't do at that time many years ago, but now we're 10 times better. And so we come today, and I want to set your thinking. What do you do? How do you live? How do you prepare yourself so that in your field, or maybe any other field you are going to get to, in your practice, what you are doing today, and your spiritual life, of course, how can you become 10 times, 20 times, 30 times better? It will happen. This is that generation that will rediscover again that whatever we have done in the past, whatever we have achieved in the past, now, this is just everything you got until today. It's just a springboard, and you get on the spring, and then I see you up and down, and then you dive into the future 10 times better. Give me 10 times better. Amen. Father, we thank you today and bless your name. Lord, we thank you because these are the ends of time, and you have called us so that whatever we have got, whatever we have done, wherever we have been, whatever we have produced, Lord, we pray that today you open our eyes and we become 10 times better in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, you recharge our battery, our brain, our mind, our focus, and the divine energy inside us so that we'll become 10 times better in Jesus' name. Lord, touch everyone, transform everyone, and bring your triumph to every life in Jesus' name. I confirm, I confer, I convey the blessing of the Lord upon everyone. 10 times better. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. We're coming to Daniel chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 20. Daniel chapter 1. We're looking at verse 20. It says, "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them." He found them 10 times better. You underline that in your Bible. You underline that in your heart. And you underline that in your vision. Where I am now, God helped Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How can I become 10 times better? 1, 2. How can I become 10 times brighter? What happens? That here I am. Somebody is able to write a textbook. He has the intelligence. He has the understanding. He has the training. And he could write that. Here am I just to read and understand. How is it a human being here on earth has the intelligence and the understanding to write? His is to write. Mine is to read. If he could have that intelligence to write, I should have the intelligence to read and to understand. I will understand. 10 times better, 10 times brighter, 10 times higher. After all, as we are born into this world, look at our height. We can't remain on that height. We have to be growing and growing and growing until we become 10 times higher. And we need to be monitoring. What we don't measure, we can't assess, and we can't grow in that. 10 times wiser. Look at Daniel Daniel in chapter 1. How wise was he? And then at the end of the 3 years training, 10 times wiser. And then look at him in chapter 2, in chapter 3, in chapter 4. And then when you come to chapter 8 and chapter 10, and you come to chapter 12, if you compare Daniel by chapter 1 and chapter 12, 10 times wiser, 10 times healthier in our lives. As your days are, so shall your strength be. What do I do? How do I live? How do I eat? What do I eat? How do I sleep? How do I rest? How do I exercise? How do I utilize everything I have, so that as I look at my health now, and I grow older and older, and I look at the promise of God, as your days are, so shall your strength be, how can I become 10 times healthier? And then I'm strong, but am I going to remain at that level of strength? How can I become, look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how can I become 10 times stronger? I am steadfast. I am steady in the pursuit of things in life, steady. But how can I become 10 times steadier? I'm born again. I'm a child of God. And by the grace of God, that grace came into me. And it taught me how to live soberly and godly and righteously in this present world. As I move on, how can I become 10 times godlier? I'm looking at every area of life in your relationship with people. I'm looking at every area of life in your understanding and maturity. I'm looking at every area of life, and I'm saying, how can I, in my life, in every choice I make, in my profession, and in my regard for everything the Lord has given me, and I'm improving and improving, how can I be 10 times higher than ever before? That's why we're here. And wherever you are, as a young person, as an older person, as even people who are beyond 40 years of age, they used to say, a fool at 40 is a fool forever. Now, people are proving that wrong. There are people who have been asleep and slumbering until the age of 40. And at the age of 40, 45, at the age of 50, they wake up and they say, what does that person have that I don't have? The brain he has, I don't have. And the intelligence he has, and I don't have. And what a passion, power does he have that I don't have? And they wake up at 40, at 45, at 50, and then they start. I've even read of an old woman at the age of 70, and she decided she didn't go to primary school when she was young. And then at the age of 70, she decided she was going to go to a primary school and go through that. I've read of a 67-year-old woman that stopped secondary education when she was a teenager. And now at 67, she said, why? What's happening? The college is there for everybody, and there's no age limit. And she registered and then started at the sophomore and the first level, and went on and graduated by the time she was 70, 71. What can't we do? If you have the principle, the idea, a fool at 40 is a fool forever, that's your choice. But you're going to come out of that thing. And the Lord is going to do in your life what you have ever been dreaming for. And you'll move on and move on and move on until you are 10 times better. Now understand, we don't just become 10 times better. You are looking at, to become 10 times better, you are looking at increase, increase, increase. It's not a great jump. If you look at, there's something we call simple interest. All of us should understand that. There's another thing we call compound interest. We should understand that. If you increase by 2% in 1 year, 3% in 1 year. Simple interest, that principal, that 100%, the principal. When it's 1 year, you add 3%, you have 103. And then the following year, you have 106. The following year, 110. That kind of interest and increase is very slow. But you come to compound interest. That whatever you do, let's say for example now, you do something in a quarter. And in a quarter, you increase by 5%. Then you start the next quarter at 105. And you take 5% of that and increase, it will go beyond 100 until it's compound interest. And you move on like that and move on like that. In a few years, you'll become 10 times better. Amen. That's like, but you know, you have to plan. You have to develop. You have to have an agenda. And you have to have what your goal is, to become a 10 times achiever, 10 times planner, 10 times developer, and 10 times achiever. That's what makes us to achieve. That's why we're here. I'm talking to you today on reproducing excelling Daniel's for this generation. Reproducing excelling Daniels for this generation. And if you count yourself in, you are in. If you say, I want to be an excelling Daniel in this generation, it will happen in Jesus' name. I'm talking to you on this in three perspectives, 3 points, 3 sections, and 3 subtitles. We're looking at number 1, recharged and transformed to excel. And we're not just here to, you know, to just observe all righteousness. There is a youth impact, and it happens every month, GCK crusade, and this is the time now, and we come so that we'll fulfill all righteousness. No, we come so that the power of the Lord and the strength of the Lord and the vision from above will get into everyone, and you'll become recharged. You're getting dull, you're getting stagnant, you're getting weaker, and it appears the focus, the vision is no more there. And then you come, and the power of the Spirit of God will recharge your life and will transform your life so that you will excel. Somebody there, you will excel. Recharged and transformed to excel. Number 2, re-challenge. You know, sometimes you were challenged some years ago, some time ago, and you have forgotten. The voice and the sound of that challenge has now dwindled and died down. But now, you want to have another challenge in your life, that you'll wake up. Everybody today, you'll wake up in Jesus' name. It says you are re-challenged and toughened. You know, in the life in which we live, no matter what IQ you have, no matter what plan you have, there are people, there are things that will stand in your way. And as the situation gets tough and tougher, if you don't become tough and tougher to meet the challenge of the day, whatever kind of brain you have, you'll be behind. You have to be challenged and toughened so that you become exceptional. Exceptional. Somebody there, exceptional. Re-challenge, a new challenge coming upon your life, and toughened to be exceptional. Number 3 is recommitment. You know, in life, it's only what you commit yourself to that you excel in. It's only what you stick your head into and you say, I am here and I will make it. That's how we succeed. But if you are the kind of a student, it's so professional, if the wind is blowing there, looks like they don't want to go in that direction, you're not tough. And you don't have what it takes in tough times to have a tough mind that will penetrate and push through. You'll not be able to achieve anything. But we come here today so that you will be re-challenged, and you will be toughened, and you become exceptional in your life in Jesus' name. And then recommitment to training for excellence. Training for excellence. You are training yourself. Self-training. And you are training with all the things that are available now. Any subject you have, that they're online. And you can start from level zero. I didn't know anything of that subject before. Anything of that career before. Anything of that profession before. You can start. And then you commit yourself afresh. Commit yourself anew to training for excellence. You'll excel in Jesus' name. I will excel in Jesus' name. It may take 5 minutes. It may take more than 5 hours. It may take more than 5 days. It may take more than 15 months. But if you commit yourself and you say, this is where I am going, and this is what I will have, there is nothing that can stand in your way. You will excel, you'll be extraordinary, and your life will be full of excellence in Jesus' name. You know, if you give me all that ground floor, amen, we're not going to fly. But if you give me that higher, better, brighter, greater, louder, amen, we'll get there. We're looking at number one now. Number one, I'm looking at recharged and transformed to excel. Daniel chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, reading from verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his search. The environment was not conducive to excelling. The environment was not conducive to God helping anyone. Nebuchadnezzar was too much of a visible figure before the people. They learned his subject. He changed their names, and he gave them the kind of accommodation the Chaldeans could give. He taught them the language and the culture of the Chaldeans, and he gave them his dainties and drinks. Everything was calculated to make them like Babylonians. But Daniel said, I'm of another race. I'm of another set of people. And I'm not to be conformed to this Babylonian thing. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Whatever others do, he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. You know, the others, they were proud. I'm drinking the same brand with the king. The others, they were proud. And he looked at the billboard, and he see that, you know, that hero, who actually might be a zero in his personal life, might be a zero in his private life, might be a zero in his family life. But then on the board, they see the fellow, this one is a hero. And then he holds a bottle of drink, and then they write there, drink with the hero. And everybody they looked at Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, you know, Arioch said, that's the wine the king drinks. And aren't you lucky? You are brought as captives to the land of Babylon. And Daniel knew that he was going to excel beyond Nebuchadnezzar. What Nebuchadnezzar, what would have forgotten, Daniel will bring it out in chapter 2. And watch the magicians and the astrologers and all the people of Babylon, what they were not able to interpret, he knew he was going beyond them. If you're going beyond them, you don't talk like they talk. You don't look like they look. You don't drink like they drink. And you don't, you know, make a fool of yourself like they are making fools of themselves. That's the reason why Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor waste the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the priests of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Look at chapter 2 there. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And Nebuchadnezzar became afraid, he was troubled, he was confused. But there's a man that we're looking at. Fear never came into his heart. You know, in life, if you want to go this way, you're afraid. You want to go that way, you're afraid. And fear controls your life. Fear controls your thinking. You're not going to excel above them. Nebuchadnezzar was afraid in chapter 2. And then all the magicians that should interpret the dream, they were all afraid. They said, Nebuchadnezzar king, nobody ever asked anybody to come and recover the dream he himself had forgotten. And that man became angry. And he said, all of you, you will die. You can't recover my dream. You can't interpret my dream. And he gave a decree that every one of them shall be killed. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego included. Come and see our man. 10 times better in courage. 10 times better in fearlessness. He heard, and the executioners came. They knocked at his door, and I see our man, Daniel, and he came out calm and cool and collected. He said, "Who are you here? What have you come to do? Oh, come to take off your head?" No. Neither you nor Nebuchadnezzar can determine the day I leave this earth. Let me go and see that Nebuchadnezzar. And then he came in. That's our man. A man that knew, even at the face of death, that here is what the Lord is going to do. 10 times better than all the other people. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar, I hear that you are a dreamer. You're looking for the answer to your problem. Give me time. I'll come back to you and tell you what your dream is about. That's exactly what he wouldn't give the magicians. He said, I know you're looking for time because you see that the dream is gone away from me. And you're looking for time so that I then was okay, leave them. He wouldn't give them time. He said, now you're going to all die. And our man Daniel came in with 10 times assurance and 10 times confidence, and he says, give me time, I'll get back to you. Don't touch anybody, I'll solve your problem for you. That's why we're here. That's what you want to find out in your life. How can I be so confident and trustworthy that I will be asking for time? And Nebuchadnezzar, that will not give anybody time, he'll give me the time. You'll become God's favorite. I'm looking at chapter 2 there. Chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 27 and 28. In Daniel chapter 2, reading from verse 27, it said, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded, cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king? Verse 28. In verse 28, it says, but there is a God in heaven. And he had connection with that God. There is a God in heaven. It says, and he maketh known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he began to reveal what no other person could reveal. Remember, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. After the passing of chapter 2, then comes chapter 3. And in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar now decided he was going to raise up an idol. And the idol was a heavy head and weak feet. And that idol of that he raised up, he said, everybody should worship. But there are men of destiny. There are men of decision. There are men that decide that whatever others do, here is where I stand. They see the fire burning. They see the furnace heated. And they see everything. And they see the fury of that Nebuchadnezzar. Look at chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Am I hearing you are a non-conformist? Am I hearing you are bold and fearless? Am I hearing you will not worship my idol? Am I hearing, you know who I am, and I set my mind this way. Am I hearing you are setting your worship, the worship of your God, above my idol? He said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up? Look at verse 15. In verse 15, it says, now, if ye be ready, at what time that ye hear the sound of the cornet, and the sound of the flute, and the harp, and the sackbut, and the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, Babylonian music, if you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, very furnace. And who is that God? You say you're serving God. Here we are. This is Babylon. Here I am. This is Nebuchadnezzar. And here, whatever I decide, demand, decree, that's final. I am, that's what he thought, I am the final authority. Whatever vision you have, don't carry in here. And whatever desire and whatever goal you have, don't carry in here. And whatever decision you have made, don't carry that in here, because Nebuchadnezzar said, I am the final authority here. Who is that God that can deliver you out of my hands? We're looking at Daniel, at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at verse 16. It says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we. Now, you must understand, every time as they talk to Nebuchadnezzar, they have to follow protocol. And you have to say what everybody says. Even if he is blaspheming their God, they have to say what everybody says. Even though he is challenging them and he wants to change their conviction, they have to say what everybody says. What do they say? O king, live forever. They didn't follow protocol here. They said, here, you challenge our God. They said, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Look at verse 17. They said, is it be so, our God whom we serve, and we will not serve your idol, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And eventually, you know the story, you are cast into the burning fiery furnace, and he stood, you will stand. There is a God in heaven that has all power. He can quench all the fierceness of that fire. Any fire coming into your life, you say you'll not worship idol, you'll not bear into the idea, the ideology of the day. And then people say, they'll make the fire, they make the environment, they'll make life fiery for you, fiery for you. That fire will not burn you. Eventually, this Nebuchadnezzar himself had another dream. We're coming to chapter 4. In chapter 4, he had this dream. This time, he remembered the dream. But he needed interpreter. He needed someone that would tell him, this tree that grew up and the branches reached into the heavens, and then a voice came of the watcher from heaven and said, cut it down. Could anybody ever cut down the tree, Nebuchadnezzar? There is one that is higher than the highest. He thought, yeah, it was high, and he could do anything. He could waste lives, he could destroy lives, and he could muscle anyone, he could silence everyone, and he could look at everybody, and the fire will be coming out of his furious face. Can anybody cut down that tree, make him mad, and eat grass like animals? There is a God in heaven, and it's a God of power, and it's a God that can do whatever he will do to bring the proud down. And he came finally to the conclusion. We're looking at Daniel chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 37. In Daniel chapter 4, reading from verse 37. Now, after God dealt with him, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. There was a standing Daniel. There was an interpreting Daniel. There was a focused Daniel. There was an unshakable Daniel. And because Daniel remained who he ought to be, eventually Nebuchadnezzar had to come down. As we go through life, you'll find fellow workers, you'll find fellow students, you'll find neighbors, and they are into the business not of increasing and improving themselves, they're into the business of bringing everybody down. They're in the business of building the fire of furnace, the furnace of fire for everyone. They're in the business of making life difficult, unbearable for everyone. But if you are like Daniel and you stand firm, if you are like Daniel and you stand focused, if you are like Daniel and you stand faithful, those Nebuchadnezzars in your life that want to burn your life, they want to burn your career in life, they want to burn your aspirations in life, all of them will come down. All of them without exception, they will come down in Jesus' name. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, the King of heaven, the King of heaven, and all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Now, what made Daniel who he was? What made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who they were. And what will bring that same heart, that same mind, that same progress, and that same courage of Daniel into every heart today? The courage of Daniel will come to you. The power he manifested will come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel, D, decision and devotion. Decision and devotion. That's what makes us that Daniel had decision, the first letter of his name. He had decision, he had devotion. If you in your life, you decide, it can be today, that you say, I've been wobbling, I've been here and there, I've been up and down, I've been indecisive in my life, I've not staged on anything, you know, and I want to excel like Daniel. D, you have decision and devotion. A, in the name Daniel, in the nature of Daniel, is abstinence to advance. Abstinence to advance. You won't make much of anyone. They say, take this, yes sir, he swallows it. Take that, he swallows it. It does not even read the label on the bottle. It does not even say, those who have taken that, drunk that, eaten that before me, what was their outcome? But in the case of Daniel, he read the label on every bottle. He read the label on every packet. He read the label of what people presented to him. He read the label in the ideas and ideologies that people presented to him and true to his name. Abstinence for abstinence to advance. He abstained from that, abstained from that, abstained from that. Yes, all the magicians were around. He didn't get involved in their magic. And all the soothsayers were around. He didn't get involved in their soothsaying. And all those astrologers, they were around. He didn't get into stargazing like them. He knew that he had to abstain from all appearance of evil. Daniel, and he nurtured the new nature. He nurtured the new nature. When you come to the Lord gives you a new nature. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. And Daniel showed that. He will not eat the old stuff. He will not wear the old stuff. He will not think in the old way. There was a new nature. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. He has a new nature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that new nature, he nurtured the nature. It is what you nurture that will grow. It is what you nurture that will develop. If you nurture evil, that evil will grow. If there's a little lion there, not strong to kill you now, not strong to break your bones now, and you nurture that lion, nurture that lion, eventually what you nurture will grow up and become stronger than you are and might destroy your life. But if there is a new nature, and if there is a loving nature, if there is a Christ-like nature, if there is a converted nature, and you nurture that new nature with reading the Bible and with praying to our God and reaffirming your consecration, reaffirming your conviction, it is that nature that you nurture that will grow. Daniel, D, A, N, I, initiative and influence. Look at Daniel. Daniel heard that they are going to kill all the wise men. Nobody told him what to do. He took initiative. You know, in life, if you're going to excel like Daniel, you have to take initiative. Look at all those, you know, these young people, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, they took the initiative. That lady said, I came out of college and I knew that only about 10% of the graduates are employed in her country. And then she said, all the other 90 people said, out of the 600,000, all of them, they had nowhere to do, to go, and they had no job. And she took initiative. You have to take initiative so that you can become a better influence in your world. And then he, in Daniel, is education for elevation. Education for elevation. Now, there are many people that go for education, but they are not educated. They buy certificates, and they buy testimonial, and they buy everything. They can pay for it. If you pay for it and you have certificate, you don't have education, and you don't want elevation in life, you're just thrown out of college. Because in college, no education. And in life, after you are passed out of secondary school, high school, tertiary institution, university, whatever, we keep on educating ourselves. Because as we're reading Daniel, it says knowledge shall increase. And in the world in which we live today, you know, in the past, it will take about 50 years for the knowledge of the world to double. And later, it will reduce to about 10 years. And in 10 years, the knowledge of the world will double. Now, the experts tell us within 2 years, 2 years now, the knowledge we have now, within 2 years, doubled. And if the knowledge is doubling like that, and you don't have real education, and you stop reading after passing out of school, there'll be no elevation. What you could do 10 years ago, you cannot do that now. With the same knowledge and the same training that you had 10 years ago, it's the continual education that helps you to be elevated all the time. Daniel, lowliness with loyalty. He came before the king and he said, it is not because of any wisdom I have better than other people, but it's because there's a God in heaven who wants you to have the knowledge, the interpretation, the revelation of what you are looking for, and was loyal. And when he came in chapter 4 and the king told him the dream, he stood there, dumbfounded, and for 1 hour he could not talk. And then when the king said, Daniel, whatever it is, tell me. And then Daniel started by saying, the dream, the interpretation be to them that hate me. He loved the king. He was loyal to the king. He was lowly before the Almighty God, before the God of heaven, and then he was loyal before the earthly king. That's Daniel. That's Daniel. And if we're going to excel, that's what the Lord is calling us to. He's saying we must have D, decision and devotion. He said we must have A, abstinence to advance. He said we must have N, nurture of a new nature. We must have I, initiative and influence. We must have E, education for elevation. And they must have L, loneliness and loyalty. Let's come to point number 2 now. We're coming to point number 2, and it's the rechallenged and toughened nature so that we can be exceptional. There's no doubt in your mind. There's no doubt in anybody's mind. In the whole of Babylon, everybody knew that Daniel was exceptional. Look at Daniel. So quiet, and then, but when it comes to his time to talk, he opens revelation from heaven. He was exceptional. Look at Daniel. All the magicians said, there's nobody on earth that can give you this interpretation except the person, the man or the woman in whom the spirit of your God is. Look at Daniel. He was exceptional. Look at Daniel. The fire will not bother him, and the fury will will not bother him, and the edict of the king will not bother him, and the Belshazzar that was even drinking and became so bold as to take the instruments from the house of God in Jerusalem that they stored in their temple, in their shrine, go bring me that, and was drinking out of that. And then the writing came on the wall, many, many shekel perishing, and he called Daniel in, and Daniel walked in like he was the master of every occasion. That man was exceptional. God can make you like that, and God can so turn your life around that what jewels other people, what distorts other people, what puts other people heads down and legs up, the Lord will straighten you up. I said the Lord will straighten you up. I can just imagine as I see you in days to come, I see another Daniel. I see another Daniela. That as well, I can tell from your work, I can tell from your look, I can tell from your stand, I can tell with the way you comport yourself. Hey, come on, this is another Daniel of our generation, and this is another Daniela of our generation. You see there, is she there? The Lord confirm it in your life. Reach an age and toughened to be exceptional. You cannot live a victorious life in Babylon without being tough in your heart. The things that surround you in college, at university, the things that surround you, the idolatry, the witchcraft, the evil, the soothsaying, the magic that surrounds you as a professional. There's no way you can be like a Daniel in that place without having this challenge and re-challenge and tough-mindedness so that you will excel. Look at Daniel chapter 5. I'm looking at Daniel chapter 5, and I'm reading from verse 26. In verse 26, Daniel chapter 5, this is the interpretation of the thing. Many God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. How could you talk like that? This man is profane. This man is terrible. And he's so brazen that he can take the vessels in the house of God and drink wine with his wives and concubines. And here Daniel comes, an exceptional man, and he said, thou God whom you disrespect, and God whom you dishonor, and God whom you disregard, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Verse 27. In verse 27, Tekel, thou, Belshazzar, look up at me here. You see that writing on the wall? It came because of you. And thou, brazen man, profane man, thou art which in the balances and art found wanting. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, thy kingdom is divided. Thy kingdom is finished, is found wanting, is divided, and given to the Medes and the Persians. And now we come to chapter 6. In chapter 6, Daniel, with all this gift and with all this interpretation and with all these opportunities he had had, and with all the position he had of being the only voice in the land that could talk to kings, he could talk to Nebuchadnezzar, he could talk to Belshazzar, and now they said, this man, what are we going to want to get rid of him? And you're not going to find that any flaw, any fault, any falsehood in his life. And somebody said, I know how I can catch him. He loves praying. He concentrates on prayer. He doesn't do anything without praying. How can you catch him with that? We're going to go to the king, and we're going to say, anybody that prays to any God, any God, for these 30 days, he'll be taken and thrown into the lion's den. Or someone said, that's right, that's right. That one will catch Daniel. Either he will be stubborn and heady, and he'll keep on praying, and then then lions will eat him up. Or we will achieve our goal, he will understand that the people here, they don't want this high level, high powered holiness and righteousness, and now the lions are waiting for him. He will subpedal, he will calm down, he will stop the prayer. Either way, we get him. And now in chapter 6 of Daniel, verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, we're looking at verse 10. It says, now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber, to upon his knees calmly, as if there were no threat about praying, about religion, about worship. He kneeled on his knees 3 times a day. He said, if their threat will not stop my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner, feeding the body, then their threat will not stop my prayer, my petition, my supplication 3 times a day. And so 3 times a day, we were told, he prayed and he gave thanks before his God. He gave thanks before his God. God, I thank you. You have made me who I am. God, I thank you. You have made me fearless. You have toughened my mind, and I don't fear all those presidents and all those people, all the princes. God, I thank you. I know the lions are there. You created the lions, but you didn't create them for me. You didn't create them to eat me up. You created me and gave me my assignment. You created the lions and gave them their assignment, and the assignments are not to clash. The lions are doing their duty. I will keep on doing my duty. God, I thank you. The lions don't have grace. They only have the instinct. I have the instinct to pounce upon people and eat them up, or you can control the instinct. But me, you have given me influence, you have given me intelligence, you have given me understanding, you have given me your grace, you have given me everything. In spite of the lions, Lord, I give thanks unto you, as he did aforetime. And then you know the story. The people came and we saw him, we caught him, he was praying, and he went to tell the king, and he was said, there's somebody here, his name is Daniel, he has flouted your command and he has neglected your edict. And then they brought him out, and the king was trying to, you know, delay. They said, you cannot, because you know it's the law of the Medes and the Persians, and it cannot change. So they brought Daniel out and threw him into the lions then, and the lions never saw anybody like that before. He doesn't have any fighting spirit, and his peace and his patience took the sting out of them and weakened all their claws and weakened their teeth and weakened them. And then all through the night they became like a cool, good, soft mattress for Daniel, and Daniel slept well, while the king could not sleep in his palace. And then the king came early in the morning and with a lamentable voice and said, Daniel, thou servant of the Most High God, is your God whom you serve able to deliver you from the lions? And here come the strong voice of a righteous man, and he said, live, O king, the Lord, the God of heaven, has sent his angel and he has shot the lion's mouth. They do not taught me, is that so? Come out. And they looked at him. He was still as complete after the lion's den experience as he was before the lion's den. You remain complete. Whatever lions are roaring around you, you remain complete. If you just have the mind and the heart and the decision of Daniel, the lions of this world will not eat you up. We'll come now to chapter 7. And chapter 7, the Lord was going to show Daniel the real power, the real dominion. In Daniel chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 13. Daniel chapter 7, we're looking at verse 13. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the son of man came with the clouds of heaven. You see that, that Daniel, he had one eyesight to see the things that be now. If all you have is eyesight, you only see the present. You'll not see the future. You had, number one, eyesight. Number two, you had insight. Insight. He could see the Son of Man coming with the clouds later. You know, a man like that, a woman like that, having eyesight, having insight into every problem, every difficulty, you'll excel in life. Look at that. He said, I saw, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him, the Son of Man, near before him, the Ancient of Days. And then in verse 14, he says, and it was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his which shall not pass away. And then it says, which shall not be destroyed. Look at chapter 8, and I'm reading from verse 1. In Daniel chapter 8, reading there from verse 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me. A vision appeared unto me. It doesn't matter the condition of Babylon. A vision came unto me. It doesn't matter the economic recession in Babylon. A vision came to me. It doesn't matter the brutality of the man on the throne, the brutality of Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar. It doesn't matter who I see running things and running shows in Babylon. A vision came unto me. There are people that their lives depend on who is at the top of the empire. There are people, their lives, their vision, and their courage, their fearlessness, and their goals, everything depends on who is there on the throne. But in the case of Daniel, look at this man. The things around, the things physical, the things psychological, the things philosophical, and the things professional, everything happening around him never moved in. I pray you'll be like that. That's why we came, so that the same grace and the same power and the same assurance and the same authority we find in Daniel, whoever is there on the throne, whoever is there directing shows here on earth, all the same, the vision of the eternal will come to you. And it says, after that, which appeared unto me at the first. I want you to look at the last verse there, in verse 27. In verse 27, it says, and I, Daniel, fainted when he saw what was going to happen, and I was sick in certain days. He wasn't sick forever. Actually, the sickness there, maybe you know, is the impression and the influence, the power of the mind on the body. We call them psychosomatic diseases. The effect of a fearful heart, a sorrowful heart, a downgraded, oppressed heart, oppressed mind on the body. They say it's mind over matter. They say it's the effect of what happens on the inside, on your body. And because of what Daniel saw, and what he saw was coming upon the world, his heart, his mind, his inner man was affected. And he was sick certain days, but he woke up. He said, the Lord showed you that not to depress you. The Lord showed you that not to discourage you. The Lord showed you that not to make you sick. He showed you because you're a favorite of his, and you're going to see the future, what was happening. And then he woke up and said, afterwards, I arose up and did the king's business, And I was astonished at the vision. But none outside, people were just living their lives, none understood it. Look at Daniel. What do we learn about Daniel here? Number one, he had exceptional, excellent spirit. The spirit you have when the Holy Ghost comes to live inside you, and then it cleanses your soul, your spirit, and you have an excelling and excellent spirit. Number two, he had an excelling wisdom. The wisdom that other people do not have, wisdom belongs unto God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, nothing doubting, because he that doubteth or wavereth will be like the waves of the sea. To and fro, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. He said, wisdom is of you, O God, and I want wisdom. And God gave him excelling wisdom. Number three, he had evident salvation. Evident salvation. A person that lived, like in chapter 6, were told he was preferred above all the presidents, all the people. He had evident salvation. Number four, enduring courage. That man had enduring courage. Look at, you know, the lions have been kind of meat hungry, and once they throw you in there, you are gone. Oh, he said, it doesn't matter. God determines how my life will end. Neither Cyrus or Darius, nor the magicians, nor the astrologers, nor the presidents will determine the end of my life. He said, God is the final determinant. And because of that, he had enduring courage. What if in your life, any office where you are, any school where you are, what if in your life you have that evident salvation and you have that enduring courage and you fear none and you fear nothing, that you have that courage in the Lord? My life is in the hands of God. But somebody has the power to open the lion's den. They have the power to open the lion's den. I have the privilege of going in there and standing for my God, and an angel will come and stop the mouth of lions. Let somebody say amen. Amen. Number five, entire consecration. Entire consecration. Belshazzar said, interpret this for me and I will give you gifts. He said, hold on to your gifts. I'm not your servant. I come here. I'm not for pay. And I'm not for sale. And you cannot sell the gifts. You cannot buy the gifts I have. Keep your gifts by yourself. I will still interpret for you. You see, that's a man that has the entire consecration. He had number six, earnest faithfulness. Earnest faithfulness. He read the writing on the wall. He didn't kind of modify the meaning. Being afraid of the king, being afraid of what they will do. This is Babylon. This is not my country. This is not my place. I came here as a captive. How can I say this now? Behind or before him, he had a kind of courage that will not bend or bow. We're looking at number seven there, elevated sincerity. Elevated sincerity. Everybody knew this man is a sincere man. This man, you cannot cower him, conquer him, and make him to compromise. That's what the Lord wants in our lives, that we will have elevated sincerity. Number eight, exemplary sanctification. Exemplary sanctification. I hear many people, I'm sanctified, I'm sanctified, I'm sanctified. And I'm asking, my friend, do you know the meaning of I'm sanctified? The Adamic nature is supported. Is that what you're saying? The depravity is taken away. Is that what you're saying? The habitual lifestyle, the defeated lifestyle that you have been living, all that is transformed. And now you have transparency in your life. You open your windows, you kneel down, even though they are watching you and they are trailing you, and they are saying, I wonder whether I will do that again. I wonder whether I will go that direction again. giving the man had real sanctification, exemplary sanctification. Number 9, he had effective supplication. Effective supplication. There was no case in the life of Daniel that he prayed for something, either for Nebuchadnezzar or for himself or for Judah or for anyone. His supplication God always answered. That's the kind of man the Lord is calling you to be, the kind of woman is calling you to be. Number 10, he had extraordinary faith. Extraordinary faith. It's like Abraham saying, my servant, stay there. I and this lad, Isaac, will go yonder and worship. He knew that God had told him to kill Isaac for his sacrifice. But he said, I and this lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come back unto you. Be waiting for us. Daniel knew that he was going to the lion's den. His ministry had not finished in chapter 6. He was still to have all those revelations that God will give to the world through him. I'll go in there. I'll come back again. You'll come back again. You will show up again. When they think we have finished him, you have just started. I have just started. Number 11, he had inquiring mind. After the Lord had shown him the vision in chapter 7, he wanted to know, to have understanding of what these matters are. Number 12, he had enlarged dutifulness and usefulness. He said, after the vision, I arose and I went back to serving at my post. All this the Lord wants us to have, so that we'll become like excelling Daniel today. The Lord did it for him. The Lord will do it for you in Jesus' name. Where are you? New life, new nature, new focus, and new progress in your life in Jesus' name. Let's look at number 3 now. Number 3, we're looking at the recommitment to training for excellence. Recommitment. That now, as we come to the conclusion of the message, you look at that Daniel now, and we're looking at chapters 9, 10, 11, and 12. And you say, look at what Daniel did. Look at what Daniel became. And I want to recommit my life. Now I want to have focus. And now I want to have further achievement. We're looking at chapter 9 of Daniel, reading from verse 2. In Daniel chapter 9, reading from verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Hold on. Let's do some calculation here. Daniel, when he got to Babylon, he was a teenager. Put the age at either 16, 17, or 18. Now, in the Babylonian captivity, the people had spent 70 years, and Daniel had been in Babylon for 70 years. If he started at the age of 16 in Babylon, and now he has spent 70 years in Babylon, add everything together, he was 86 or 87 or 88. And some authorities have said he got there at the age of 20. And at the age of 20, after 70 years, the man is now 19. And if you look at that, he said, after we spent 70 years there, and it's about 19 now, he says, I, Daniel, understood by the books. The man was still reading at 86 or 88 or at night shift. There are people that don't read anything anymore. They've come out of school. They won't even read newspapers. They've come out of college. They won't read anything. And if you bring them together and you say that the exam you took and you had first class 4 years ago, you're going to sit for the same exam now, they have not read a jot after they came out of school. They're old now at 32. They're old now at 38, and they cannot read anymore. And if they're trying to read even what they had studied before, they cannot read anything anymore. They have become engineers and they do not know the development that is still going on in their field. They have become doctors, and doctors, they practice, they know what to prescribe. If you have cold, if you have catarrh, and if you have a fever, if you have typhoid, if you have malaria, you know this is what they always prescribe. A new product has come. The pharmacies are not standing still and they're producing something, and the medical journal is there. Do you read? Daniel was still reading. He was still studying even at the age of 90. And so he said, I understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he began to pray. Let's look at chapter 10 there. In chapter 10, we're looking at verse 11. In chapter 10, looking at verse 11, it says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee. You know, some people say, I became saved, I became sanctified, and I lived a holy life. And what did that earn me? Persecution, lions, den, criticism, opposition. And so the people are telling me, go soft. Moderate what you are doing. Moderate what you are saying. Holy, holy, holy. Don't let it become too much, because you know the people around you, they don't like that. And if you want to live, when people get older, they want to live a life that people smile at them. They want to be sure that people love them, people appreciate them, and they want to be sure that people are thinking well of them. It says when they live like that, when they have that they have peace of mind, and eventually they will die peacefully. And they cannot have everybody happy with them if they take a strong stand like they took when in their 40s, in their 50s. Daniel did not soft pedal. Daniel kept everything he knew. Even at that age of almost 90, and the angel said, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright for unto thee. Am I now said? And I was, and he, when he had spoken this word, I stood trembling. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. Fear not, Daniel. You remember? Many years before, fear not, Daniel. And now at old age, the Lord is still pumping that confidence and courage into him. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst search thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. Angels will attend to you. Heaven will attend to you. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 14. In verse 14, now I am come to make thee understand. I am come to make thee understand. What happens to us in life when The wind blows this way. We don't understand. When sickness comes that way, we don't understand. When events happen, we've been climbing, we've been running, and we've been moving on. Then something happens, everything collapses, and we don't understand. That's why people become confused. That's why they discourage. That's why some people even take their lives. They don't understand. I'm righteous. I'm nice. I'm holy. I'm good. And yet, this happened. And the thing that happened, they don't understand. Some people commit suicide. Why? They don't understand. What if in your life, like Daniel, anything happening here on earth, anything happening there in the sky, everything happening there in the secret with conspirators, yet you understand everything. And you know how everything will end. Your life will be making progress every time. My life. My life will make progress every time. You will understand. You will understand. You will not be living in darkness. You will not be living in confusion. You will understand. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, not before you. What shall befall your people in the latter days? For yet the vision is for many days. Let's look at chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 32. Chapter 11, we're looking at verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he, the Antichrist, corrupt with flatteries. But the people that do know their God. Oh no, I understand now. The people that do know their God. I look at Daniel in chapter 1. That man knew his God. I look at Daniel in chapter 2. That man knew his God. He said, don't touch anybody. I'm going to the God of heaven. And I know my God is the God that reveals secrets. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew their God in chapter 3. Hit your furnace 7 times. Do what you will. Our God, they knew their God. A God whom we serve is able to deliver us from your burning fiery furnace. And look at Daniel. He's now in chapter 4. And now the king is confused, and the king is unhappy, and the king is fearful. He's looking for an interpreter. And he had not even had a dream. He walked in majestically. And then Daniel, I've had a dream that confuses me. And Daniel said, he knew his God. Tell me the dream right here. Without going off too fast, I'll tell you the interpretation. He knew his God. There is a writing on the wall in chapter 5. And now they're looking for interpretation. And this profane man, Belshazzar, he was so afraid. His knees were knocking together. And he said that nobody could bring a solution to the problem that was confronting the king. And said, call Daniel, call Daniel, call Daniel. He's the one man in the nation that is able to decipher, is able to open up every hard sentence. And here Daniel comes. He wasn't thinking, what am I going to do today? What if God does not answer my prayer today? What if the revelation is not made known to me today? No! Daniel knew his God. The people that do know their God. And here is now chapter 6. And he said, alright, holy, holy man. Alright, perfect man. Alright, heavenly minded man. The lions, we cannot deal with you, the lions will deal with you. And then you open the door, you open the windows of the chamber, and then he began to pray 3 times a day, like he always did. That's the man. He knew his God. What I'm saying is, whatever is happening in our world, you don't have to know that and know that and know that. There's only one person you have to know the God of heaven. And that God of heaven, he will see you through. Every mountain he has ordained, you will climb in life, you will climb. Every place he has ordained, you will get to in life, you will get there. No confusion in your heart. The people that do know their God, they shall be stronger and they shall do exploits. Exploit doer, are they there? Miracle worker, are you there? Your life will be a miracle. Look at chapter 12. I'm looking at chapter 12, verse 3. It says, and they that be wise shall shine. And they that be wise, Daniel was wise. He was wise. When he was with those other students, and he dictated their curriculum, and he dictated their diet, and they forced them, every other person, this is what you do. He had the wisdom. He was wise. He said, Arioch will not eat that. Test us for 10 days and give us beans and water. And then at the end of 10 days, look at our countenances, and then you can take the final decision. That man had wisdom in communication and wisdom in courage and confidence in the Lord. What if you walk through life and in every situation, anyone you are dealing with, anyone you are interacting with, the Lord gives you wisdom? He will. I said he will. My brother, look at the steps you have taken. You take that decision, you fell into a pitfall, and then you went there, you're stumbling and falling because you don't have wisdom, the wisdom from above. Why don't you stay and stand still and be wise for your personal life, wise in your decisions, and wise in the direction you are falling, and wise in everything, the interaction you have with people. Not worldly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. They that be wise shall shine at the firmament of the at the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness. Daniel, he turned many to righteousness. Number one, he had a transforming effect on his friends, on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the influence of Daniel made them to stand firm and to say, our God is able. He had influence on Nebuchadnezzar. He said, my counsel to you is this, break off your sin by righteousness, and then turn from your iniquities, if the good days will come back to you again. And because of that, eventually Nebuchadnezzar said, now I praise, I honor, I extol the God of heaven. And he said, and now I know the people that walk in pride, he is able to abase. It was the effect and the influence of Daniel upon him. That's what the Lord is saying. Many people around you, they don't have the wisdom they ought to have, they don't have the new life they ought to have, and they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. You forever and ever. Things will not always be like they were yesteryears. The present is a new beginning, and the Lord will raise you up. And everything Daniel had, Daniel lived in his generation, and now he's gone. You are the man of the hour, you are the woman of the hour. And the Lord will do great things through your life in Jesus' name. Let me bring all that to summary. What Daniel had and what Daniel eventually experienced. Let's look at this. Number one, reading and studying after formal education. I told you that already. That's in chapter 9. He kept on reading. He kept on reading. Do you still read? I asked myself, do I still read? Of course, I have to keep on reading. If Daniel was still reading at the age of 90, you read and you study after formal education. Number two, readiness through supplication with faith. And when he read and he understood by the words of the book of Jeremiah, then he went into supplication with faith. And then number three is repentance while seeking divine favor. He came before the Lord and then he said, Lord, we have sinned. Israel has sinned, and show us forgiveness. He had repentance while speaking and seeking divine favor. Number four, refreshing of skill for further beautifulness, yeah, the refreshing of skill, and the angels that have come to make you understand, have come to refresh your understanding. Number five, the revelation of salvation in its fullness. 70 weeks are determined upon your people that Messiah will come. He'll put an end to sin and he'll bring in everlasting righteousness. Number six is the realization through self-denial and fasting. Self-denial and fasting. You see, even at his age, he could still fast. And he said, I took no dainty meat. And for those 21 days, he was praying. He was also fasting. And then number seven, he had renewal and steadfastness and faithfulness. And the angel of God called him beloved. And then in number eight, he had the regaining of strength and usefulness and steadfastness. And that's what the Lord will do for us as we come before the Lord, and like Daniel, and we look up to the Lord and we claim the promises of God. The Lord will renew your strength. He'll renew your standing in Jesus' name. And number nine is the retaining of our standing without falling. Look at Daniel. From that time that we met him in chapter 1 until the end of his journey, he did not fall, you will not fall. He did not faint, you will not faint. He did not falter, you will not falter in Jesus' name. Number 10 is the reconnecting with the supernatural without falsehood. You see, all the falsehood in the time of all those evil beasts, except for the people that do know their God, they are stronger and they will do exploits. Number 11 is refocusing on shining stars forever and ever. He refocused his life. The teenage years have gone. In the 20s and 30s, all that has gone. He came to his 60s, his 70s, his 80s. Now he's about 100. He remembered, he said, the people who turn many unto righteousness will shine forever and ever as bright stars. And then number 12 is reasonable rest and sustained service on the field. Reasonable rest. We work, we rest, we are awake, we sleep. And anybody will tell you, any scientist, medical person will tell you that your brain needs rest. And that's why we sleep at night. That's why we don't stay up and we're watching this and watching that, watching this and punching this and kind of browsing that. The brain needs rest in the night because of all the work you've done. Then you're weary, you're tired, and then you go to rest. And as you rest, it's not the rest of death. It's the rest to recover everything you have expended during the day. And you wake up in the morning. Actually, those doctors tell us, and they are experts in their field, they say the average person needs about 7 hours of rest at night. If you know you are going to wake up early, you rest, you start your rest at the in good time, and then after that you are refreshed. And when you wake up in the morning and your energy is fresh, some people say, I'm a morning person, and at the beginning of the day I wake up like this, I refresh myself, and I look at what am I to do today that will contribute to the achievement I have to have today. And then you exercise, and then you are ready. Now you are ready to go, and you get to the place of work and you do everything you need to do. You might even have an afternoon break, rest, and then you continue, and then you come back home, you are with your family, and it's a form of resting and relaxation. You are discussing with your wife, your husband, or your children, and you know, you are like that. Your mind is getting readjusted. We need rest after we have done everything, and then you Before you sleep at night, if you have journal, you're saying, tomorrow, this is what I will do. And this week, this is what I will do. Next month, this is what I will do. And you're planning everything. And with all the plans, you're following the plans, you're walking, you're resting, you're walking, you're sleeping. And you'll be going on like that. You'll never be tired. I'm talking to somebody there. Look at me as I'm looking at you. You will never be tired. The strength of the Lord will carry you through. And if you go through all this that we have gone through, and like Daniel, you become of an excellent, extraordinary spirit, the sky is the limit. You'll be an achiever. You will be a conqueror. Great things will happen in your life and through your life at your own time. We will know you came, you saw, you studied, you served, you conquered. Are they conquerors there? Rise up and let us pray. And take everything you have learned. Take everything to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to come back and pray for you before we go. But I'll ask our state overseer Nikiti here to lead us in prayer. In a few minutes, I'm still here. I'm going to pray for you. Don't go. You're going to have a real supernatural touch of the Lord upon your life. Overseer of Nikiti, please pray with us, and then I'll come back to pray.
Let's rise up. We've had much. A great investment this morning that will bring another Daniel out of you. What do you say, oh Lord? Thank you for helping me to be a participant at this Impact Academy today. Where the character study you will never forget in your life. And the name of that person is Daniel. Pray, Lord, make me another Daniel. All the virtues and all that Father and the Lord has brought out of Daniel, may the Holy Ghost transfer into your life today. May the Spirit of God transfer into your life today. A man of excellence, wisdom, courage. Look at those qualities. Don't forget. Because of his connection with the Almighty God. That's why those qualities flew from Calvary to his life. He didn't manufacture them by himself. It was the grace of God that put them in his life. The same grace is available. All you need to do now is say, oh Lord, I come. I want to have a relationship with you. I surrender my life unto you. Make me another Daniel. Make me a Daniela for my generation. He was in a strange land, yet God made him what he was. Those qualities came out. Pray unto the Lord. Help me, O Lord. I surrender. I surrender. These qualities will make you to make a mark in your generation. Anywhere you are. He was in Babylon, but the whole story revolved round about Daniel. Anywhere you are, you will be a point of reference. You will be a point of influence. Pray, oh Lord, here I surrender. Lord Jesus, I give myself unto you. I won't waste my life anymore. No more just roaming about, joining useless peers. or just surfing dirty things on the internet now. I want to make a way in life. Pray. The Lord will recharge you today and make another Daniel out of you. Help me, O Lord. I surrender. I give myself unto you. All these qualities in Daniel, you will put in my life. Excellence, exceptional. Lord, here am I. Where are you? You have heard so much. Pray that the Spirit of God will transfer them to your very heart. Lord, I'm coming out of this Impact Academy. A Daniel, a Daniela. And I make up my mind. When I get out there, I propose in my mind, I will never allow anything to defile me, to pull me down. I will never allow be involved in anything that will separate me from God. Lord, I'm going out. I'm going to be a lily. I'm going to be a light everywhere I go. Help me, O Lord. Put these qualities in my life. The Lord is doing something in your life today. You are coming out of this place 10 times better than you came to this Impact Academy today. Everywhere you go, you will excel. Excel in your study, in your career, in your profession. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Keep your relationship with the Lord. Pray that nothing will separate you between you and God. Help me, Lord. Put all these qualities in my life. Courage to stand for you like Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Courage to stand. Courage to be steadfast. Courage to stand for the truth all the time. Pray the Lord will grant unto you. You see how diligent Daniel was. Darius could see that. And so he decided he was going to promote him. Pray that God, the Lord will help you. You'll be diligent. You'll be focused. You'll be determined. You are disciplined like Daniel. These qualities will bring the best out of you. Pray unto the Lord now. Today, the Lord is starting a new story, a new history of your life. As you surrender your life to the Lord, heaven is writing a new story about your life. So, Lord, here am I. Another Daniel, make out of me. Make me a Daniela. Help me, O Lord, to stand for you. In Jesus' name we pray. A louder amen. Your story is changing today. A Daniel will be born in your heart today. A Daniela will be born in your life today. That's why you want to make up your mind now. It's God that did it for Daniel, and Christ will do it for you today. You want to surrender your life? You say, oh Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. What you did, these qualities you put in Daniel, I know you will put in my life today. If you are taking that decision today, and you want that foundation to be laid in your life, just raise up your right hand now and say, "Oh Lord, I give myself to you. I surrender. I want to become another Daniel of my generation." Can you raise up your hand? As God sees your hand, God bless you. You can see those hands. Heaven is looking at those hands today. And this decision is what will lay the foundation and will bring from heaven today all the qualities that you saw in Daniel. Heaven will drop into your life today. When you are connected with heaven, can you raise up your hand and say, "Oh Lord, I connect with you. I will not serve the devil anymore. I will not serve sin anymore." Just tell the Lord as you raise up your hand and say, "Oh Lord, here am I. I'm connecting with heaven today. I will no more serve sin. I will no more serve the devil. I'm going to live for you for the rest of my life." Raise up your hand as we pray together now. Almighty God, we are grateful unto you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for this character you are bringing out as a model today. And what you did in his life.